Education and Beyond is brought to you by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. For education, sport, youth, research and innovation includes four important remits, each having their own individual strands, involving a number of measures and policies at a national level, participation within European Union fora, and a series of international collaborations. This is Education and Beyond, a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Programme Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Throughout the series, we shall be looking into the priority areas which underpin the EU and international dimension of the Ministry. Thank you for joining us. In this episode, we shall be discussing the Smart Specialization, or RISE 3 for short, for the period of 2021 up to 2027 within the research and innovation sector. At the start of this year, in January, Malta launched its second Smart Specialization strategy, and in July, the Ministry launched the thematic committees which will be steering the implementation process of this strategy. I am Darren Katkuti, Assistant Director at the International Relations and Programme Implementation Directorate within the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. In order to discuss today's topic in more detail, I have the pleasure to introduce today's panel, composed of Ms. Hazel Rafferty, who is Manager of the International Relations Unit within the same directorate, and also Mr. Roma Kutayar, who is Director for Policy, Strategy and Internationalization, and Ms. Ramona Saliba Sherry, who is the Director, Deputy Director for Strategy and Policy, both coming from the Malta Council for Science and Technology, MCST. MCST is acting for and on behalf of the Foundation for Science and Technology, and it is a public body established by the central government in 1988 with the mandate of advising government on science and technology policy. The MCST was at the forefront in the development of the Smart Specialization strategy, and in line with its mission, it aims to create the best environment for research and innovation to flourish in Malta and support the evolution, you could say, of research and development. Thank you, Omar and Ramona, for joining us. Could you please elaborate on what is a smart specialization strategy, so that we start from the beginning? And why does Malta need a smart specialization strategy? How does it benefit us as a country in the first place?
Sure, Darren. First of all, thank you for having us. So a smart specialization strategy is first of all, very much linked to its European-wide concept, and it's very much linked to the unlocking of European regional development funds at EU level. contrary to perhaps typical approaches, it is very much a place-based approach. So rather than the identification of priorities at European level, smart specialization requires countries or regions, depending on the size, to undertake a bottom-up analysis and identify those assets and resources that a country or a region have that can be better valorized through investments in innovation. This bottom-up approach is very much at the heart of smart specialization, and it's called the entrepreneurial discovery process. It builds on the involvement of what is called, in smart specialization jargon, the quadruple helix, the components of which are civil society, government, academia, and the business sector. Smart specialization posits that these four together have the intrinsic ground-level knowledge amongst them to make the identification of these areas so that they can be better valorized, as we mentioned, through investment in innovation.
Ramona, we mentioned at the beginning that the strategy is the second smart specialization strategy. How does it differ, if at all, from the first strategy?
Yes, indeed, Hazel. This is the second strategy that we have that the government launched in January of this year, and it covers 2021 to 2027. The preceding one covered between 2014 and 2020. And of course, like any first, there are successes and there are lessons to be learned, and that is what we did. So indeed, for the second smart specialization strategy that we are implementing now, yes, we looked at what worked in the first strategy and also at what worked less well and where we could improve. For example, we strengthened the EDP process, the entrepreneurial discovery process, during the development of the second strategy. We did more focus groups, different kinds of focus groups, different meetings. We really learned from what we needed to do to make sure that all the stakeholders were properly involved. On the side of the identification of the areas, some areas were retained and developed further even, where we saw that the interventions that were made in the past yielded results and there was potential for further growth and specialization, while others, there was a decision not to retain them. So there was lessons learned in that regard as well. We are also focusing more prominently in this strategy on the governance of the implementation of this strategy, which is very, very important for it to be successful. And through the risk-free committees, which we will be discussing further later on, we are seeking to have a stronger implementation structure for delivering this smart specialization strategy.
Omar, how does the RIS3 fit in the overall direction for research and innovation for Malta? And what are Malta's biggest challenges in this regard?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Hazel, the Smart Specialization Strategy complements all our national efforts in the area of research and innovation. First of all, you need to understand that smart specialization is an approach, is a very specific approach to the development of R&I policy, whereby we try and focus our efforts on those areas where we feel that we do have an advantage, or at least where we do have the necessary capacity to be able to move forward in terms of unlocking funding, in terms of better programming coordination, and in terms of further developing the human skills base in the area. Ramona before was highlighting quite a lot the issue of governance and the implementation of the strategy, because this had been, in fact, quite a challenge when it came to the first strategy for the period 2014-2020. So in this sense, we're really trying to put the emphasis on governance, because having a driver for implementation of the smart specialization strategy will in turn increase the political ownership of research and innovation policy at the national level. And it will also serve to strengthen the bottom-up base of how research is actually undertaken locally. So that means efforts on capacity building. It means having a stronger focus on establishing new international collaboration and cooperation with like-minded organizations, whether these are universities, whether we're talking about research-performing organizations, or research and technological organization. And here, we need to emphasize also the need for a better public-private collaboration, so the collaboration between academia and private industry. So when you see these aspects, you can see that the smart specialization strategy fits in the overall political direction for research and innovation locally, and it serves as a programming framework because it gives the right priority drivers for those sectors that we believe are the best positioned for exploiting opportunities in this area.
Thank you, Omar and Ramona, for your insight on the smart specialization strategy and what the strategy entails and how this fits into Malta's objectives for research and innovation. And certainly we can see that we've gone a long way in how we look at research and innovation and how we work with a bottom-up approach, and MCSD has certainly done a lot of groundwork in order to renew our vision as a country, and but also within the sector of research and innovation for the years ahead. We're now stopping for a short break, and our discussion with Omar and Ramona continues in the second part of this podcast, where we shall be focusing on the main areas of the strategy, and also we'll be delving into more detail on MCSD's role within this strategy. Stay tuned.
Back, you're listening to Education and Beyond. This is a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Program Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth and Research and Innovation. I am Hazel Rafferty, and in today's episode we are discussing the Smart Specialization, or RIS3 for short, for the period 2021 to 2027 within the research and innovation sector. We very much welcome your feedback and questions on any issues arising from today's podcast on our general email, euaffairs.meyr@gov.mt. We also invite you to subscribe to the Ministry's official Facebook page, Educazioni, in order to learn more about our latest initiatives, and to visit our website, education.gov.mt, in order to learn more about the services offered by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Additionally, for further information on MCSD, please visit our website mcsd.gov.mt, and we invite you to subscribe to their newsletter for the latest updates and funding opportunities. We also invite you to subscribe to the MCSD official social media platform pages, Malta Council for Science and Technology, as well as visit plumtree.org, a dedicated portal on research and innovation opportunities. MCSD can also be contacted on 2360-2200. Following the first part of our discussion, we shall now focus on what the main areas of the strategy are and what MCSD's role is within this strategy. Omar, can you please share what are the identified RIS3 areas for this programming period, that is from 2021 to 2027?
Certainly, Hazel. I mean, the strategy does identify a number of sectors, as we have explained earlier, because, of course, it is sector-specific and sector-driven. In total, we have identified six sectors. These are health and well-being, the sustainable use of resources for climate change mitigation and adaptation, smart manufacturing, marine and maritime technologies, aviation and aerospace, and finally, future digital technologies. As you can see, these six sectors, they are all self-standing and established ones locally, and this is why we have used the entrepreneurial discovery process to identify in a bottom-up approach these sectors. And these sectors, some of them can be considered as verticals of their own, whereas others, like for instance future digital technologies, you can consider it also as a horizontal enabler for all the other areas, because of course you can easily apply digital technologies across health, across smart manufacturing, in areas like aviation and aerospace. So you can see that there is this mix also of vertical self-standing sectors of their own, along with an element of horizontal enabling through the selection of future digital technologies. What I feel is quite important with these identified areas within the smart specialization strategy is that these are areas that together, when you take them collectively, so to speak, they are a mix of both established manufacturing endeavors locally, as well as examples of sectors which are more services oriented. So in themselves, the sectors that we have identified are a very good representation of the makeup of our local economy. We can go a little bit more in detail on these sectors, because of course when we say health and well-being, when we describe smart manufacturing, when we describe the sustainable use of resources for climate change adaptation, we're talking about some very generic terms. But in truth, the smart specialization strategy, if our listeners will be interested to go through it and actually read it, you will discover that there are important subsectors for each of these thematic areas. So for instance, to give some practical examples, when we speak about health and well-being, we're in reality giving a specific focus, for instance, on cancer research, on cellular therapy, on drug development, as well as the digital tools to support healthcare. When we speak, for instance, of aviation and aerospace, we have a clear focus on avionics, the use of composite materials and development of new technologies for the maintenance of new products within the sector. So as you can see, we have a multi-level approach also when it comes to the identification of those sectors, because in themselves the sectors keep flourishing and developing in different economic directions. So overall, we feel that the identification exercise was a very exhaustive one, that it has the buy-in of our local stakeholders, and they are all very promising sectors over the long term for capitalizing on R&I opportunities.
Thank you, Omar. And this was very interesting to also see sort of like how the smart specialization strategy in practical terms also affects a lot of integrated areas, other policy areas as well, and sort of like how everything comes together. And what is very interesting is that you're referring to the bottom-up approach that's being used in the implementation and execution of the strategy. So I have a question for both of you, Ramon and Omar. I mean, how is this approach being complemented by monitoring and evaluation of the smart and specialization strategy? Before, we mentioned that there were some thematic committees that were established. What is the expected roles of these committees? Is this a stock-taking exercise? And how is MCST involved in this process as well, to oversee, obviously, what's being done and how the strategy is carried forward towards its reaching its goals?
Perfect. So your question is a bit two-pronged, Darren, because you mentioned both the monitoring and the role of the thematic committees. So let me start with the role of the thematic committees. These thematic committees, first of all, they were officially launched just last month. And the idea behind these committees, first of all, there is a committee for each identified thematic area. So we have six in total. Within each of these committees, there is a representation of each representative of the quadruple helix. So as we mentioned earlier, civil society, government, academia, and business within each committee. And the idea behind this approach is to ensure that the entrepreneurial discovery process remains alive and ongoing throughout the course of the implementation of the strategy. This was not a question of consulting with stakeholders at the strategy development stage, and then no more. With smart specialization, we need to make a success of it to keep the stakeholders involved, the stakeholders engaged, and this is the main role of the thematic committees that we are talking about. So basically, the role of this committee, of each of these committees, will be to identify the best instruments to operationalize each of the risk three niches. Those who are closer to the areas are best equipped to know what will work best. And that is the idea and the conceptual notion behind these risk three committees. It is a novel approach. It is one which is very new to us, but which we hope will be the right tool to keep the strategy alive, active, being practically implemented, and obviously ultimately delivering results. The committees will report back to the ministry with their recommendations of what needs to be done, new policies, new programs, new funding instruments, extending funding instruments, changing funding regulations here and there. So this is where the technical role of the committees will be very, very important. And then it will be at the level of the ministry to take those recommendations forward. Where does MCST feature in all of this? MCST will be providing technical support to each of the committees. At MCST, we have a number of functions besides policy development, of course. We support internationalization. We manage a number of national funding programs. We are the national contact organization for Horizon Europe. And through all of these different channels, let's call them that, we can provide opportunities and advice to the committees of possible avenues for implementation. So we will be providing, we will be doing a lot of the background work as much as we can to support the committees in making their recommendations. Separately, we will also be taking care of the monitoring framework for the smart specialization strategy. Indeed, one of the later chapters of the strategy is precisely the monitoring framework for the strategy's implementation, where we have identified a number of indicators that we will be monitoring on a very regular basis and which will be giving us a clear picture of whether the interventions that will be put in place are having the desired effects. So it will be a two-pronged approach. The risk three committees supporting and driving the recommendations for implementation, and separately also monitoring that which is happening in practice to see whether it is achieving the desired results.
Yeah, the key word here is ownership of the process. Because when it comes to governance, we really need to have control and we really need to ensure that we have a results-oriented approach. So our concrete ideas when it comes to the running of the committees, of the implementation committees, is to try and entice the members of these committees to try and get engaged on some small-scale projects. So what we have in mind is to try and get them involved, for instance, on conducting some studies, on conducting some surveys. Maybe think of how they could structure a project application to make the best possible use of Horizon funds. When we speak of Horizon, of course, we are referring here to the EU's framework program for research and innovation. the committees, in this sense, they are meant to be the real drivers of this process, and we really want to empower them. And this is why we have, as Ramona has explained earlier, this process of interaction with the ministry. Because without synchronizing the political efforts with what can be done at a programming level, we will never achieve the necessary results. So taking a little bit more of a long-term perspective, the committees can operate with freedom, yet within very clear policy parameters set within the framework of the Smart Specialization Strategy and complemented by other strategies that MCST is actively working on, chief amongst which is the new RNI plan for the period 2023-2027. So all this fits together into a bigger picture, and we really hope that with the experts that we have selected to man and participate in the discussions within the committees, we have the right level of enthusiasm and professional expertise to drive the process forward.
Thank you, Ramona and Omar, for sharing your insights about the Smart Specialization Strategy for the period of 2021 and 2027, and also keeping us updated with all the work that's been done so far and that's been spearheaded by the Malta Council for Science and Technology. And certainly, we've seen that there have been major developments in the research and innovation sector, and it's also very promising to see that there's been an extensive process for the renewal of our societal approach towards research and innovation and how we take stock of it and how we look at it, and also this involvement of industry and civil society in not just the consultation process, but now also in the monitoring and also the ongoing implementation of the Smart Specialization Strategy. Thank you very much for your insight on this and sharing this information. You've been listening to Education and Beyond, a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Program Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. In today's episode, we discussed the remit and functions of the Malta Council for Science and Technology vis-à-vis the ongoing implementation of the strategy for smart specialization for the period of 2021 up to 2027, and also the ongoing developments within the research and innovation sector in Malta. We very much welcome your feedback and questions on any issues arising from today's podcast on our general email eufs.meyr@gov.mt. And we also invite you to subscribe to the Ministry's official Facebook page, Educazioni, in order to learn more about our latest initiatives, and to visit our website, www.education.gov.mt, in order to learn more about the services that are offered by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Additionally, for further information about the Malta Council for Science and Technology, you're invited to visit their website, mcst.gov.mt, and we also invite you to subscribe to their newsletter for the latest updates and funding opportunities, and also the initiatives that they roll out from time to time. We also invite you to subscribe to the MCST official social media platform pages. On Facebook, you can search for their page, Malta Council for Science and Technology, as well as you can visit plumtree.org, that is P-L-U-M-T-R-I, which is a dedicated portal on research and innovation opportunities. MCST can also be contacted on 2360-2200. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned. Education and Beyond was brought to you by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation.